Begin. Okay, so we're going to learn Tiferet Shimshon, Reb Shimshon Pinkus' Sefer on Parshas Truma, this week's Parsha. We're going to start from the Pasuk, V'hayu ha-Kruvim, and the Kruvim were Pneim Ishal Achiv. Their face was one to another. So Reb Pinkus quotes a Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Aleph. Ketzad hein aimden, how were the Kruvim standing? Reb Yechem, Reb Elazar, Chanam Pnei Mishal Achiv. One says that they're facing each other. The Chanam Pnei Mishal, the other one says, no, their faces were away from one another towards the outer walls. Ulaman Damar Pnei Mishal Achiv, Haksiv Pnei Mishal. Aye, doesn't the Pasuk say that their face was labayas? Like Asha, it's not shver. Kam bezman she'Yisrael eisen ritzenei shalmakim. Kam bezman she'ein Yisrael eisen ritzenei shalmakim. It depends. When Klal Yisrael is doing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, so then we face each other. Meaning the Kruvim, there were two of them. One represented HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One represented Klal Yisrael. So when we were doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, so we were interfacing. We were facing, the Kruvim were actually facing one another. However, when we were not doing the Ratzon Shel Makom, then what happened was, both Kruvim were faced away from one another. And then the Gemara says, L'mandam p'tem l'bayis ha'ksiv p'nei mishal achiv, t'mitzadudi atzudei. The Gemara says, what about, according to one that says that Pneim Labayis, it says Pneim Yishalachiv, so he says they were sort of like in the middle. Okay. By the way, just Agavorch, you can't say this Gemara without saying the famous Nefesh HaChaim in Shar Aleph, Ais Dalet. He speaks about the Kruvim, and he says a good kasha on this Gemara. If what we just said is true, that one kruv represents the Rabbeinu Shlom, and the other kruv represents Klal Yisrael, so when they're not doing Ritzenei Shel Makom, so then that means that shouldn't only one of the kruvim be facing Pnei Mabayis? Why is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face go away? Meaning, Klal Yisrael, we're turning our backs on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, okay. So one of the Kruvim representing Klal Yisrael should have their back to the wall. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu's back also go to the wall? What's that about? So using his thesis is that Klal Yisrael controls the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's the famous thesis of the Nefesh HaChaim of Chaim Volozhiner. He says that that when we speak about a person being Nivra B'Tzelem Elokim, what does it mean? What does it mean that we're created B'Tzelem Elokim? It means that we are able to be a Kol Yachol. Elokim is a lashon of Kol Yachol, an omnipotent. We like HaKadosh Baruch Hu are all powerful and omnipotent. What does that mean? Because we don't know what we really are. Reb Chaim Volozhiner says a very big insight. He says, we think we're little ants walking around planet Earth. We have absolutely no impact on anything global, even local. We're nothing. We're just little flecks of dust that's, you know, blowing in the wind. We have nothing to us. Reb Chaim Volozhiner says that's absolutely false. We actually control the entire Bria. When we do something really good with our life, we do a mitzvah with Kavana, then we're creating tremendous shefa, tremendous positive flows in the Eilamas Al Yainim, all the way up to Shemaim, it comes back down to earth. The stock market goes crazy, wild, and people's parnasa are great, and there's going to be rain when it should come, and Torah is going to flourish, all because I did one thing right. When I do something wrong, it's the opposite. Everything goes bad in the entire Bria. There's coronaviruses, there's earthquakes, there's hurricanes, everything, it could be because of me. You just read the papers, you think, oh, it's really bad, the coronavirus. But it's no shaykhis to me. It's some guy in China eating dog meat. That's what's causing coronavirus. It's not true. A yid controls the entire world. And we're Nivra B'Tzelem Elokim. We're almighty. So, and we control the Rabbeinu Shlom, Kaviyachol. So whatever we do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds. Like, we're not responsive to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to us. And he brings a lot of rice, but this is one of the rice. He says, what's up, shot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face turns towards the wall? Our face turned. We turned our back to him. Yeah, But whatever we do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu follows. We turn our back from him, he at the same time turns his back to us. We control the Rabbeinu Shalom. And another famous part that the Baal Shem is also... What? Yes, Hashem and Marta, Hashem and Ruch. Right, so that time, yeah.
As he says, both, Hashem doesn't control it. Both companies will see wrong. From the time I can say, bring us a few chemists, a few chemists, a few chemists, a few.
So we control whether Taiva Ra happens. That's true. So he says that, like L'mashal, it says, Hashem Tzilcha. Hashem is my shadow. What does it mean, Hashem is my shadow? Just like a shadow, wherever I move, you see on the desk there's a shadow, I move my hand, and the shadow moves exactly at the same time as my hand. So Hashem Tzilcha, Hashem is your shadow. Meaning, whatever you do, Hashem follows. You're not, Hashem is not the puppeteer. We're the puppeteer of Hashem, Kaviyacha. It sounds like Apikursus, right? But that's what the Chaim Volozhiner says. In fact, that same vart, that Hashem Tzilcha, about the shadow in Hashem, that's also the Baal Shem and Reb Chaim Volozhiner mechav into the same vart. Like, from the opposite ends of the universe, they're mechavim to the same exact var because it's emes lamita. That's the way HaKadosh, everyone agrees that's the way the Rebbeinu Shlom operates this world.
The way I've understood about them is that they didn't disagree on how they like to learn Kabbalah and things like that. It's just that the legendary, like, he disagreed on like what should of like to what extent it should be revealed to people. It should be revealed to people. I was told that he was worried that like people if you would teach them these things like regular people that like people would misinterpret it or wouldn't understand it correctly it could lead them to doing something wrong.
Okay. That's good. It's not clear what Reb Chaim Volozhiner held about the Chayim against Hasidim. Also, like the Vilna Gaon was very, but he wasn't one of the signatories officially on that, and they say that he might have been somewhat. What's the word? Sympathetic, maybe, with the Hasidim? Not clear.
I said, for the Akid to kill Yid near the Ektibur, to say what Yid Amal suffices, the words of Malach.
Yeah. In any event, so this is what we are discussing right now. So. Anyway, that's an important Reb Chaim Volozhiner to know. Let's see what Reb Pinkas says. L'kruvim shamdu b'kadosh ha-kadosh ha-mayim atzavim shaynim b'zman sh'yisulaisim b'sveinu sh'almakam ha-yipnei mish'alachiv. When they were doing the right thing, then their face was towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were one to the other. The faces of the kruvim were one facing each other. Ubizman Shane Israelis and Sena Shalmakim, Atsamaya Dimitsadi Atsudi, Painat Seda. When they were not doing it, then their faces were away from each other a little bit. So Makavana Panim El Panim. When we speak about their faces were Panim El Panim, I think this is one of the most important Yisai that Sarah Pincus is going to share with us this year. What does it mean, Panim El Panim? Mashalamad Davar Daima. So he brings his one of his famous mashalim. When I say famous, because Reb Pinkas was very real. Reb Pinkas was living in this world very, very acutely. He wasn't somebody that was like, he was in this world. And he grew up in America, in Brooklyn, and he had a ton of stories and a ton of, when he brings a mashal, it's not one of these old-fashioned mashalim. He always brings a very current thing because he was current. That's what everybody loves about Reb Pinkas. He was very practical and very real and very understanding of our dar, and he addressed our dar. Adam nichnas habayis av yadav amuses b'chavileis. A person comes home, and his hands are full of what? Packages. He comes home from the local supermarket, and he has like a ton of peklach, a ton of packages full of food for Shabbos. Chazartim kaniyais humadilish. So he tells his wife on the way into his house, I came home with the packages. whom I do. So Aisha Maftira, clap of stomach, Tadash. So she just basically throws out, thank you, thanks a lot, really appreciate it. Fine. Umanchai son, Hechan Lassim Kaldava. She basically shows him where he should put it on the table, put it on the floor. Kol Zeh Achu Maitzim Asal Zar Prachim. That's the way the scene plays out until something unique happens. And that is that he pulls out of one of his baskets a bouquet of roses, a bouquet of flowers. As soon as she sees the flowers, what happens? Misha Aymer Elishta Hevesi Prachim. As soon as she says, honey, I brought home flowers for you. He loyam marisle tassim bar garto. She doesn't say, okay, that's nice. Put them in the vase. She doesn't say that. He mistakelis alav. She looks at him. And she looks at him in a very special way. Zeo matzav shel panim el panim. That's what it means. When we speak about the Rabbeinu Shlom and Klal Yisrael, the kruvim having face-to-face interlocking, that's the look of love that a wife gives to her husband as soon as the husband brings home flowers for her. It's not just, okay, put the packages there and fill up the fridge and do this and do that. It's not a chore. Suddenly, something changes. When he brings her flowers, she looks at him differently. She focuses on him intently. She doesn't like just say, okay, put it here. Doesn't even give him the time of day. She gives him a full attention. Full attention is what a wife gives to a husband at that point. Zeu matzav shel panim upon. That's what we're talking about when we're speaking about panim el panim. Bita shel shaychas shel ava. If you ever see a chassan and a kawa, they look at each other like, you know, they're mamish like locked into each other's eyes. Like that's what, or dating or whatever. And then, you know, you fast forward a couple of months after they get married, they're not looking at each other anymore. They're just like, you know, mitzadude atzude. Like they're just like, you know, like they're in the car, everything is, but they're not, something happens. Something happens. We're going to get to them. Hey, thank you. But something happens. And they're not panim el panim anymore. Panim el panim is a sign of ava. When your person has love, you just like you just want to like take in their face. You want to just look at them and concentrate on them, focus on them. Nothing else in the world matters. There could be bombs exploding or whatever, but you're looking at that person's face. That's a sign of love. That's a sign of connection. Kishihude Isaac. B'maisa mitzvah, when a yid is busy with a mitzvah, tzricha liyas kavanas l'shamayim. What we should be doing when we do a mitzvah is we should be focusing intently on the Rabbeinu Shalom. Panav el mol pnei Hashem, libay upiv merukazim l'Hashem Yisparach. Our heart and our mouth are completely focused like a laser on the Rabbeinu Shalom. Yehudi kam babayker. What's the first thing that we should be saying in the morning when we wake up? Not, oh shoot, I forgot to charge my phone. But what we should be saying is that Maidani Lefanecha Melechai V'Kayim. I thank you, Hashem. Maidani Lefanecha. Before you. I am grateful to you, but Lefanecha means really as I stand before you or as I lie down before you. What does it mean before you? Hargasha Harishaina Shalayi Lefanecha. The first hargosh of a yid, the natural hargosh that a yid has is, you and me, Hashem, we're together. I'm standing here before you. I'm interfacing with you. I'm interlocking with you. We're connected. We have an immediate connection. Hunigash l'kiyar, v'nai tal yad m'varach baruch at Hashem. Then he goes and washes hands nagel vaser. He says, baruch ata Hashem, you. He's speaking b'loshen neichach. Lashon Neich is not speaking in third person, he's speaking in first person. I'm speaking directly to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Hu menake umetaras gufa magish b'chush ezach lebriyas Hashem lebriyas ayidei asher yatzeh esad mechachma. I go to the bathroom and I feel that I owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu big for making me healthy. When a person is sick, le'olenu, there's bedpans and then there's catheters and there's all types of... It's a terrible thing. The sign of sickness is when you can't go to the bathroom by yourself. If you're able to go to the bathroom, you'll excuse discussing this, but it's very important. You go to the bathroom and everything comes out the right way. The number one and number two and everything just is coming out. So there's a big Balei Musar say that every time you go to the bathroom, you should have to send a, I think he says, send a telegram to your family that you're okay. Because what goes on in the body, in order to have all of the process, the biological process, the physiological process of relieving oneself, it's miraculous. It's miraculous. So...
Just ask anyone with, like, any form of IBS. They go through crazy stuff.
What is that?
Irritable bowel syndrome.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I know someone who recently just got his colon reattached. Like, before it was, like, to the side of the wall, he had a...
We have a few talmidim that have that, and it's absolutely terrible. And even if you don't have that, but just irritable bowel is a terrible machla. And anyone that has any discomfort, you have charata. You didn't make an ashiyatza properly. But if you have that and now you're healthy again, you probably will never make an ashiyatza the same way. So, but all of this is basically showing a connection to the Rabbeinu Shalom. But if a yid goes out from his house to shul, otter b'talos tefillin, he's wearing a talos and tefillin. The einav nimshachas lekaiteres shel itain shebetevas hadayar. You're passing by your mailbox, and then there's a newspaper sticking out of your mailbox, and it says something about Trump or something about the stock market or something about Corona or something about the World Series or something about the Super Bowl. And as you're wearing your talis and tefillin, but your mind gets sidetracked to something else other than the Rabbeinu Shalom, that connection has now been broken. As soon as that happens, what's happening is our faces is getting diverted away from the Rabbeinu Shalom. We're no longer panim el panim. We're no longer locked and focused and concentrated on the Rabbeinu Shalom, but now we have a side interest. And perhaps we become consumed by that side interest and we have very, very little part of our brain left for the Rabbeinu Shalom. And that's really the tragedy of our life. Harei shepanav einai miyusharis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not straight anymore. Panav einai letfila. We're not focused on our davening. Our face is now beginning to vacillate to the side. He's destroying the face of the kruvim. He's basically taking it from pneim ishal achiv, panim al panim, to sideways. It might not be an avera, but zoich achatos hamatara. This is the sin's main root. The root of sin comes from the moment that we lose track of who we're connecting to. I just spoke about this on Shabbos. I gave a shir to not even Balei Tshuva. They're like basically it was about 20 boys and girls. In their teens, and they're not Shemir Shabbos, but they were invited to a Shabbos in somebody's house. They were actually college age. They're college age kids. They're
college.
What?
Queens College.
No, not Queens. It was in Staten Island College, College of Staten Island. So a lot of them were Russians, and anyways, they asked me to come to this person's house to speak to them, and I was basically speaking about Shabbos and the beauty of Shabbos. And I was saying that the beauty of Shabbos is that you can basically turn off all your phones and turn off all the gadgets and all the technology and focus on the Rabbeinu Shalom, focus on your family, focus on your children. Goyim don't have that. If you know, or people that are not from don't have that. They're always on. We're always wired, we never have a minute to breathe and to focus on things that we should be focused on. Husbands and wives, you go into any restaurant and you see at a table for two, husband or wife might be their anniversary or birthday or just they went to dinner together, presumably to spend time with one another, to have some bonding time away from the kids. There's probably a babysitter at home. What are they doing the whole time? Both of them are on the phone just the whole time. Every second that they're not eating, they're on the phone. They're looking and they're texting, whatever. Check it out. Every time, go into any pizza store, any restaurant, fancy, not fancy. That's what people do. I once saw a cartoon that a husband is like on his smartphone in a restaurant, and the wife is like, has this exasperated look on her face. You know, like, you know, she wants to have some romance or something, and he's like busy with his phone. She says, "Would you mind like gluing that phone to my forehead so at least I can, you know, imagine that you're looking at me?" It's very, you know, it's very insulting. A lot of times the wife is doing it. It's not always but lately that was in the early days. Then it was either the husband or the wife doing it. Now it's both. That's their way of bonding. The way of bonding is we're both sitting in the car together. We're both in a restaurant together. We're both, you know, on a cruise together. But you're on your phone. I'm on my phone. There's no talking anymore. And it's true with human relationships. And unfortunately, it bleeds into our relationship with the Rebbeinu. But it's true what I'm saying. Technology basically fries our entire brain that we're not able to even know what it means to concentrate on anything, including the Rebbeinu Shlom. So I'm not saying that it was easier to daven before the smartphones. It was different. There were different distractions. But now with the smartphone, every time in the middle of Shemini Esrei or in the middle of Asher, in the middle of Kedusha, the phone bings, you get a ding, you get a text, you get a call. You know, so you can't really, and even if you don't get anything, but your mind is always like expecting an email, expecting a text, expecting a this, and you're busy with technology, or you're busy with your sports, or you're busy with your current events, or you're busy with your college work, or you're busy with your family, or you're busy with your friends, or you're busy with making plans for Purim, and you cannot focus on the Rebbeinu Shalom. You just can't. It's just impossible almost. You know, the one bracha of Shemini Esrei that we're supposed to have kavana for the Pirush HaMilim is the first bracha of Shemini Esrei, obvious. And I always got very upset at myself because it was always for me the hardest bracha to mechavin to. First of all, it's just very hard to understand what the first bracha of Shemini Esrei is talking about. It's very, so many different things.
Have a card.
I know, I tried those cards. It doesn't work. Makes me more confused. But it's just different. It's like different. Just different. Elokei Elokei v'Yisein. Okay, I got that. Elokei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Hakel HaGadol Givon Na'ir Hakel. I'm not looking to make you crazy about this bracha. I just like, if the first bracha of Shemini Esrei I'd have to have come from Rifaino, I'd have my list out of Chaylim and I'd be able to mechav. And this bracha is such a hard bracha. And I've spoken to Gedali Yisrael, big people I've spoken to, trying to desperately get some mahalach in it. And there is a mahalach. I'm not saying there's no mahalach. But it's like a bracha that's going in, it's like a fan that's going back and forth. You're trying to like catch what's going on. It's like very elusive. Hakel HaGadol Givon Na'ir. So maybe Guy Levnei, it's like, I don't know. To me, it's a big challenge. That's just me.
It's also the fact that it's like the first bracha in Shemoneh essay. It's usually I'll fly through the bracha and I'll be like, oh, I'm not paying attention.
Exactly. That's exactly my point. My point is that the one bracha that you really have to have kavana for, it's very hard to have kavana. And I thought like I'm the only bum in the world that doesn't have kavana because like, you know, Bamberger, you're not focusing. You got to focus. And then I saw, you know, I thought everybody in the world does have kavana for that bracha and I'm the only guy that's spaced out and I'm like distracted. Then I saw Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that 1 year Rosh Hashanah, he made a Kabbalah, he's going to try to have Kavana in the Pirush HaMilim, the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. I felt so good. Because if Rav Shlomo Zalman is doing that, then, you know, what should we say? If the great cedars have this problem, then what should we, the little moss on a rock say? There's actually Yerushalmi, it's brought in a Taisus in Bava Basra. Yerushalmi says that we have to give a yashar kayach to our skulls, to our heads. You know why? Because when we say maidim, our head like instinctively goes down, even though we had no idea that we were saying maidim. You ever notice that? By maidim, we're already like way out. We're like, our minds are, forget it. But yet, somehow, the head like automatically says maidim on time. It's like, it's amazing. It's like somebody wound us up at the beginning of our life, and or by bar mitzvah whenever, and like every time we say Moed, we know that, see Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says we have to have Hakaras HaTayv to our head, to just the physical head, because when it says, when we say Moedim, it automatically goes down. That's something, it's Yerushalmi. So it's not just Yerushalmi Zalman that had this problem. It's already from the time of the Tanam Amirayim, and probably before that. This is a unit. This is a an age old problem. Oh, the what the on Shabbos?
The story where he said last year in the Shmooze, he's having a mind, he was going shopping, looking at coats or something, and so somebody smacked him in the chest. He realized.
Right. Yeah, this is a Milosh Vanes. I oftentimes I'm not proud of this, but like on Shabbos all of a sudden I find myself clapping Slachlanu, like, and like you quickly look around and see if anyone noticed. And no one else did that in the room? Come on, somebody's gotta do this. I'm not the only guy, maybe.
My tradition is not to do it, I'm a
buck. Oh, you're not. Anyway, but that's the point is that it's sad. I'm crying about this. This is not something that is laughable. I'm not trying to make a joke out of it. It disturbs me to no end. But it's the reality. The reality is that when it comes to the Rabbeinu Shalom, we do not have the panim el panim that we're supposed to have. People that are tzaddikim, people that are really holding, they are mamish locked with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Everything they do is with the Rabbeinu Shalom. When they, good times with the Rabbeinu Shalom, bad times with the Rabbeinu Shalom, Shabbos is Shabbos, Yantif is Yantif, Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur, they're mamish glued to the Rabbeinu Shalom. There's no phone that they're glued to, and there's no other distractions. There's nothing except when I'm dealing with the Rabbeinu Shalom, it's the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's it. That's panim el panim. That's the kruvim. The kruvim in the perfect state are panim el panim, and that's for us. We're supposed to have that locked into the Rabbeinu Shalom gaze, like a chassan and a kallah. They just keep looking at each other. They can't believe their luck. That's how we should have our relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom, panim el panim. When we start feeling that we're not, we start davening shmas and immediately our heads, you know, proverbially turn away, and we start phasing out, we start zoning away from the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's because we don't feel that connection to the Rabbeinu. It's not as much that we're so busy and our life is so, because when it comes to a video game and when it comes to a good show on TV or whatever, suddenly we have full focus. So there's something about the relationship. It's not that we have ADD when it comes to everything. We have ADD when it comes to the Rabbeinu Shalom. When it comes to the Rabbeinu Shalom, we don't have the ability to focus purely on him. And that's the biggest litmus test in how strong and how healthy and how pure is the relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's not just with the Rabbeinu Shalom, it's with everything. It's with, you know, when you're chassan and kallah, you're going to be very zoned in. And then, like, as time passes, unfortunately, very often we lose that. And, you know, we try hard to get it back. And sometimes we need the wife has to start screaming at you and tell you that you're very aloof and you're not into me and you're not paying attention. And then, you know, you get it back for a couple of days and then you get spaced out again. That's the way we are. But when it comes to the Rabbeinu Shalom, it's unforgivable. When it comes to Rabbeinu Shalom is standing here. He's waiting for us to show, to look at him, to focus on him. He's waiting to give us everything. He has V'kayne HaKayel, we say in Shemayin Esrei, he owns everything. So you're so concerned about Parnasso. You're concerned about how you're going to do on the test. You're concerned about buying, getting a car and paying for the credit card bills. You're standing in front of somebody that has everything, but you can't focus on him for a second. Which one?
No, I can say I feel not. He loves how much you're struggling.
Okay. Anyway, but that's the yisayit that we're learning from the kruvim tonight. And I think it's a very, very critical yisayit. If you find yourself that you start davening, you start doing Shemana Esrei, Kriya Shema Lamita, whatever, and the second you start benching, benching is a diraisa. As soon as we start benching, boom, my mind is like 50 miles away. I think Rabbi Yitzchak Berditchev used to say that when a Yid makes Eisa Shalom at the end of Shemana Esrei, you should go over to him and say Shalom Aleichem. Why? He says, because that Yid, when he was davening Shemana Esrei, was in the Bahamas, He was in China. He was in Eretz Yisrael. He went to Boca. He was in Toronto. He was Mamashi took a trip around the world during Shemoneh Esrei. He came back. You have to give him Shalom Aleichem. You have to, you know, give him like a, should give a guy Shliach Mitzvah gel maybe before he starts Shemoneh Esrei. Because that's the way we are. We're going all over the world, everywhere but where we should be. Forget about having kavanah that you're in Lifnei HaMelech. Have kavanah that you're in New York City. Forget about I'm Lifnei HaMelech. That's like a Eder Mitzvah. But this is a sad state of affairs when we're learning. Are we able to fully focus on the Gemara and our Chavrusa and on Torah? Or are we also busy with a million things and like have half a brain here and half a brain there and scatterbrained and Bahala?
The worst is when you forget Yal Biyom on Rosh Chodesh and then you have to do it again and you don't pick eight and then you're like, oh, no, I'm not, you just got like frustrated, you're like, no, I'm not doing this again.
Right. No, the Gemara says that. That's the Gemara says. The Gemara says if you don't, let's say you don't have kavanah in the bracha rishon of Shemoneh Esrei, so you're not yaitzei Shemoneh Esrei, but yet you finish that. You have to finish Shemoneh Esrei. Why don't you start again? So the Gemara says because you're not gonna have kavanah a second time either. How'd the Gemara know that? The answer is because you're a scatterbrain. The same way you didn't have kavanah the first time, when you think the second time it's gonna get better, it's just gonna get worse. And I'm not saying everybody in this room has that, but I'll speak for myself. I definitely have it. I'm not proud of it, but I have it. It happens a lot. It's not a relationship. It's not panim al panim. And when a person wants to build a relationship with a Rabbi Shalom, like a relationship with a woman, like a relationship with a child, you have to be able to focus on that person and put things out of your brain. If you're speaking to your wife and you're trying to like, but your mind is on 50 other things, she knows it. And when you're speaking to the Rabbi Hashem and your mind's fit, he knows it. You're not fooling the Rabbi Hashem. What's the answer? The answer is, I don't know what the answer is. The answer is that our brains are so fried that I don't know if we'll ever get them back. But, you know, I put out this great Jewish wisdom, these clips, these video clips, one every week. And I was told you have to make them short because people don't have attention spans. Again, they're not going to listen to an hour shiur. They're not going to listen to 5 minutes. It has to be like less than a minute and a half. That's the attention span. That's beyond. So I put them out, and a lot of people loved it. But then I had a few critics, and they said, it's way too long. I said, what do you mean it's way too long? I can't say the words, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer in a minute and a half. What am I supposed to do? Like, it takes me a time. I have to say something. I can't just say, like, hi, bye. Like, I have to say some teichen, right? There has to be some teichen here. But they say, I'm sorry, it's just too long. You can't hold cup for a minute and 10 seconds. I'm putting, you know, explosions. I'm putting people on the moon. I try to make it as interesting. That's too long. What do you mean it's too long? That's the way we are.
Download it and watch it
2 times
speed.
Okay.
I would think about this before and also more so now. Before Purim at least, I should put up a song, Welcome to Midlife. Remember when you left there a few months ago?
Yeah.
And then that was a real happening.
Yeah, but I'll tell you the truth. That was real dumb. But even then, it's freezing. It's your mind. The Rabbeinu, I don't know if it's the Eitz Sahara, I don't know if it's us, but there's something that we have to fix and fast in order to get our relationship back with the Rabbeinu Shalom. It has to be panim el panim. We have to be locking in with the Rabbeinu Shalom. When you start Shemoneh Esrei, nothing in the world should be distracting us. The Gemara says this. The Gemara says Kriya Shema, right? If you say Kriya Shema twice, then Meshaskan Eisav and Azifa, right? If you say Shema Shema. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? He didn't have, the first time around, he didn't have Kavanah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean you didn't have Kavanah? He said, if you don't have Kavanah, take a hammer and knock it into your head until you get Kavanah. What do you mean you don't have Kavanah? You're talking to the Rabbeinu Shalom. What do you mean you don't have Kavanah? If you're talking to President Trump, you'd space out. You'd be totally locked. So what do you mean the Rabbeinu Shalom? The Rabbeinu Shalom is less than President Trump? The Gemara says, take a hammer and bang your head with a hammer until you get Kavanah. Who are you speaking to? It's a problem. It's a very big problem. But panim el panim, this kruvim is—it's such a beautiful vart. There are Pinkus. He always has like the best vartlach because he mamish like hones in on what the machla vardar is, and he sees it in the psukim. He takes it out of the chazal and he brings it home. And that's That's what I love. That's why I keep coming back to Rapinkus every, come out every year. Like, I want to do other svarim, and I said, I can't leave Rapinkus. He's current. He's talking to us. He knows our dar.
So and, the end of our passage.
Yeah.
The cut goes dead. Anyone wants, I'll give him for him what he done for by the either, and I'll see what they were answered. Now, most cuts didn't do it. Because what he is, my MS is so. But some guests came. One, he said, oh, you diving? You have customers coming to you at random times, and you close line between, and every time you try get back into line, another customer comes in. And you direct the customers to come closer to each other. This way, you have a time, sad time afterwards to learn. Goes, yeah? And what I answered? No! I can't know how much this girl going. How much effort you're putting in?